As that's happening, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the season of Christmas, where we are so excited about your arrival as a baby onto this earth, into this world, to forgive us of our sins. And we thank you for all the ways you work, Father. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and minds today and teach us what you want us to hear through your word today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And so we are going to be looking at the song we just sang, O Come Emmanuel, and looking at just three different verses. What is it really saying based off of scripture, based off Old Testament prophets? And here's what's wild. We've been singing as just people in general the song, O Come Emmanuel, for 1,200 years. I mean, that's a long time to sing a song. Usually there's like one-hit wonders, right? You hear about them for a little bit. They end up on your Apple Music or Amazon playlist. And you go, oh, yeah, I remember that song. But this is one continuously for 1,200 years we've sing. And the reason I believe we sing it is because it's a song that resonates with us as human beings. It resonates with the story of truth that it tells, that things in this world are not as they should be. And so we can relate to that. Things are not the way that you want them to be, perhaps in your personal life, in your professional life. When you just look at the news, you see our world, you can see there's a lot of unrest and there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of brokenness. That's why we can resonate with this song. But we believe, as followers of Jesus, that things can be done if the God who we worship, the God who's born in that manger, that the God who promises to be with us, if he just reaches out and does something, we believe that it can happen. So we're going to look at this song, which is really a prayer. And it's praying for three things that we're going to be talking about today: freedom, light, and peace. So the first verse that we sang, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And what it's saying is Israel is God's people. And by the way, God's people also includes you and me. We are God's people as well. And so it's not just people from back then in the Old Testament, it's today as well. This first verse is a cry for freedom. And that word Emmanuel means God with us. If you've spent any time in church, you may be familiar with that word. And it's a reference recalling to the words of Isaiah in chapter 7 that we just read. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so when Isaiah originally wrote this, he was writing specifically to the king of the people of Israel, Ahaz. And you see, what happened was Ahaz knew he was by himself, that he was, as the king of Israel, he was surrounded by some other really large and strong countries and kingdoms. And there was Assyria and Syria. And he thought, hey, in order to be protected, I've got to partner with one of these groups of people. I don't agree with them. They're bad people. I know they're bad. But I've got to partner with them or I'm in trouble. Both of them are going to come get me. And so it'd be better if we partner and then we go after the other. And so that's what happened. So Assyria and Israel defeated Syria, but in the process, Assyria then ended up overtaking Israel. And so they were still ended up in captivity. And what Isaiah is trying to say to Ahaz is, Ahaz, don't do this. Because God was offended and angry at Ahaz, because he's going, wait, you're going to partner with countries who are bad, who are bad people. They don't think the way you do because you don't trust me and the fact that you don't believe that I can actually come and save you and that I'm going to be here to protect you. So Isaiah, hey, go tell Ahaz this isn't good. And that's what Isaiah did. And guess what? Ahaz went, thanks for the information. Still continued, still went, partnered with Assyria. Things went bad. And at the end of the day, King Ahaz realized, and all of God's people, they realized, they blew it. That their way was not God's way, and that it cost them a lot. Now they're slaves. Now life is bad. Now they've made it worse. And they say to God, hey, God, can you do something? Can you save us? Can you ransom captive Israel now? That's what this first verse is about. They needed freedom. They needed deliverance. They say to God, hey, we know it's our own fault, but can you throw us a bone? Can you deliver us? God's people got themselves into trouble, and now they had to be set free. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been in a season as a follower of Jesus where you feel stuck or trapped? You feel like you got to be freed from a bad situation. And the bad situation that you need to be freed from is one that you got your own self into with your bad choices. It wasn't anybody else's fault. You can't blame anybody else. You got to look at your own navel and you go, I'm here because I said I did this. Have you been there? Like maybe you knew it was an unhealthy relationship, yet you dove into it anyway. You knew you shouldn't open up that line of credit for that thing, but hey, it's Christmas. They need it, or I'm going to treat myself. And so you did it, knowing that the repercussions later would be pretty hard. You moved into that neighborhood because everybody else is in that neighborhood. And you were worried about being house poor, but you figured, hey, I've got to do it to keep up with everybody else. And now you're having 30-year regrets. You backed yourself into a corner, and now you find yourself looking up into the heavens, and you're praying to Jesus, and you're saying, Jesus, I know I got myself in this, but I need your help. Will you throw me a bone? Do something, Lord. Act. Bring me freedom. Give me wisdom. Have you ever felt that way? I believe most of us have, because otherwise, if not, we wouldn't be singing this song for the last 1,200 years. The second verse we're talking about talks about this. O come, our day spring from on high, and cheer us by your drawing nigh. And this word, dayspring, has anybody used this word? I mean, I do not use this word in my daily vocabulary, although I am not always smarter than a fifth grader. So I understand why some people would use this. But here's this word in case you don't already know it and you haven't been on Jeopardy. Here is what a dayspring is. It's a sunrise. It's a beginning of the day. And so what this verse is, this prayer is saying, the first verse was a prayer for freedom. The second verse is a prayer for God to shine his light. And so this day spring is, Lord, shine your light on all the evil in the world, all the darkness in the world, so that your light overcomes it. That's really what this verse is saying. They're asking for a divine sunrise to take place, to push away the darkness, push away the evil, all the bad things around us. And this is a desperate cry, friends, that you hear throughout the entire Bible. If you look in the Bible, there's constantly people saying, free me. And if you look at your prayer life, this is something we ask for all the time. Lord, would you just shine your light into a dark world or into the darkness of my life, into the darkness of someone else's life? We pray for this. And so Malachi in the Old Testament is a prophet just like Isaiah, and God's people had gone from captivity. They weren't listening to God. The Assyrians overtook them. They're still oppressed. They're still scattered. They're struggling. And now Malachi speaks to God's people on behalf of God to say, yes, a day is going to come where all the darkness is going to be gone. It's going to be scattered. The light's going to shine forth. The bad people doing bad things in the world will all be pushed away, and the light will shine on you. And Malachi talks about this in chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day is coming, that is coming, shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. So God's people are being seriously oppressed, and God is telling them in Malachi, hey, a day is coming where you will no longer be oppressed, where the people that have power or influence over you will no longer have such power and influence. The day is coming. Everything bad will be broken, and the power of darkness that fills you with fear will be gone. That's the message of Malachi to the people of the Old Testament who are struggling in darkness that loomed over them. Question. Have you ever felt like darkness looms over you? Have you ever met someone or possibly experienced yourself where there are numerous losses back to back to back, and you just can't get a break? Deaths in your family, poor test results, your kids are acting crazy. Young people, there's this young lady or young man that you so desire to be interested in you, and they're not, and it hurts. Maybe you have a job loss, a relationship loss, and as a result, you're covered in a cloud of grief. Even during Christmas, which it happens a lot, you miss that loved one, or your company has the poorest timing in the world. Maybe you've gone through a season where your body is not cooperating, or you have a significant health scare, and you feel like there's darkness or illness or pain constantly surrounding you. Some people, you feel like you walk around with a rain cloud constantly just sitting on top of you. You get to see the joy of everybody else, but you often are just in this cloud, and you don't have joy and happiness in your own life. Instead, there's darkness and despair and depression that seems perpetual, and it never ends. The promise of Malachi applies to you as well. A light's going to break through where there's hope and joy, and God's going to bring you goodness and grace and pleasure. There's that promise that darkness will be pushed away. That's why this song's been so popular for 1,200 years. The third verse we're going to look at is a prayer for peace. The writer states, O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of peace. The Old Testament people that we've been tracking with are now to the point where their bondage is over. They're able to head back home to Jerusalem. But when they head back home, there's a lot of divisions. There's a lot of infighting between them. There's different ideologies that they possess. They have different religious beliefs. They go to a place where it was once familiar. It was home. It was the place where God dwelled. And now they get there and everything is destroyed. And they start to say, where is God? How are we supposed to worship? And so Haggai says to the people, brings comfort to them. He says, I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And what Haggai is saying is there's going to be a day where God's going to do something amazing, and that his power and majesty will be so well known that all people who seem so different, who seem willing to fight with one another, will be unified and connected in their praise and love of him. They will believe that God's the most important thing in their life, not stuff, not things, not money. God is the most important thing, not their particular ideology, not their political bent. All of those things are not the most important things, but instead, God is. Whatever separates them from God, they'll lay those things down at God's feet, and they'll realize that he's bigger than all those things, and that God has connected all of them together, and God's made his power known, and he connects us all together. God is saying, when that day comes, I'm going to do something so awesome and amazing that the people are not going to be worrying about what they don't stand for, but they're going to be more concerned about what they do stand for, which is God and his grace and his love. And they're going to be connected, and they're going to set their differences aside and be one. This is a prayer for peace. Oh, come, desire of nations, bind and one the hearts of all mankind. One of the things that I long to see in this world is for divisions to cease so that we can have peace. I'm tired of seeing people treat each other so poorly on social media. I'm tired of the fact that we have to almost hope that no one brings up religion or politics at the Christmas dinner table out of fear of what people may say or do. Do you remember like actually having conversations with your families about these things like 20 and 30 years ago? What's changed? Probably our pride. We just always have to be right instead of actually listening to people. But you know what goes further than pride? Listening. That's actually what helps build relationships. I'm tired of living in a world where there's so much fighting, even among God's people, that the world wonders where God even is. Because when people see us, they often see something no different than what the rest of the world shows. And they go, if this is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, I don't want any part of that. I pray that we can show a different picture than that. And I hope you're tired of those things as well. Because the promise of God to his Old Testament people is that there's going to come a day where God's going to act in such an amazing way that all of us will have to set all of those things down that separate us and gather together because God's made himself known. And so as God's people, in the here and the now, who are sick of division, we know that promise is coming for us too. It's already happened in a sense in the first advent of Jesus that's brought us all together in the first place, here. The first time Jesus appeared in weakness as a baby, then he appeared in weakness on the cross and he was resurrected from the tomb. And this is what it connects all of us together. Even if we're different, we've been born in different places, we have different experiences, different education levels, we're single, we're married, we're widowed, all of those differences, that we can put those aside because we have one common bond, Christ and his grace and his love. And there's going to come a day when Jesus will make himself known in greater power and everyone will see what truly connects us all. Oh, come, desire of nations, come and bind us together. And here's the deal. One of the interesting things about this song is even though the tone is sad in the verses, in the refrain, it's joyous. It's kind of weird, actually, because on one hand, you could have a tear in your eye while you're singing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel, because we're praying for freedom and for peace, for the light of Jesus, and it's kind of sad. And then you sing, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. This is a strange tension that followers of Jesus have. Theologians call it the now and the not yet. We know now that Jesus has lived, died, and rose, but we also know that he has not yet come on that final day to fulfill the victory that he has, and as a result, we have too. We believe, we know that the world is broken right now, and yet Christ has come. He's forgiven our sins. He's promised us in the future he's going to come again. Right now, we know we're forgiven. Right now, we know God loves us. Right now, we know that Jesus has risen from the dead and defeated all things that make us feel so powerless. That's what we have right now. But we also have right now the fact that the world is full of brokenness, and at times it can be downright scary. That's right now. But there's a not yet where Jesus comes and he fixes all of it. He shows he's victorious. Right now it's broken, but right now we have a Savior who has joined us right now in this world. And one day yet, he's coming to fix it all. Jesus is coming. You have that promise. But you also have the fact that he has forgiven. He has love. He is joy. He is light. In the midst of darkness, in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of challenge, Jesus is present with you because you're his children. Christmas has always been special for me. But it has become even more special as I've been blessed with a wife and children. And I love, there's very few things on this side of heaven I love more than just sitting back and watching my kids open their gifts. And just to get to see the joy on their faces as they open those gifts and the excitement. And just for one moment, the world stops. Everything just kind of pauses. And they get to enjoy those moments. And they run around the room with the new gifts. They want to go outside, play with the outdoor new toy. You may hear things coming out of your kids' mouths that surprise you, or your grandkids' mouth, where like, I love Christmas. This is amazing. This is the best day ever. As they proceed to go and play with the box that you put the amazing gift in that you gave them, that happens. You see, our kids can get so excited about Christmas that they actually forget what the true gift of Christmas is. But they're not the only ones. You and me do the same thing. We can easily forget about what Christmas really is. We get so excited about Christmas, the songs, the vacation time, the gifts, the parties, that we simply just lose focus and track. We look forward to the vacation time with our family and friends, the fact that our family is coming into town. And we overlook what the actual gift is. And the actual gift is this. You have freedom. Here's what the actual gift is. You have light of Christ. Here's what the actual gift is. You have peace that surpasses all understanding. You are forgiven of your sin. You have the light of the world, and there is peace for your soul. So as you go forward the rest of this season, don't just hum or sing this song, but pray it. After all, it's a prayer. It is true. It is coming true. Pray this song for other people. Pray they may know the freedom, peace, and love that comes from Jesus, that you have, that it's better than any gift you'll ever receive under a tree. It's the greatest gift you have, Jesus. Amen.